there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. Tourette's syndrome is a neurological condition that may cause sudden repeated movements or vocal sounds called tics. My guest today, Savannah, was diagnosed with Tourette's when she was just 7 years old and now serves as a youth advocate for the New Jersey Center for Tourette Syndrome. In this role, Savannah speaks to school children about Tourette syndrome, she helps to raise awareness, and organizes fundraising events for NJCTS and their important work. I learned so much from Savannah about this generally misunderstood condition, and I was so inspired by her poise and confidence in sharing her story. Welcome back, everybody. I'm super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Savannah. She lives in New Jersey, and she's going to tell us all about some advocacy work that she does around Tourette syndrome. Hey, Savannah, how are you?
Hi, doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for being on and for reaching out to me to share your story. So why don't you start from the beginning? Tell us all about yourself a little bit, how old you are, where you go to school, what grade you're in, all that good stuff, where you live, if you'd like to share that. And then start from the very beginning of your diagnosis and the work that you've done and the awareness that you're raising and the money that you're raising and all that good stuff.
Yeah, perfect. I am 16 years old and a junior at Remsen Fairhaven High School in Monmouth County. And I was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome at 7 years old. And at this time I lived in New York. And I started showing signs of having Tourette syndrome, meaning I had tics, at the age of 5. So it took my parents a little bit to figure out what was going on because there wasn't much information that they knew about Tourette syndrome. So when I finally got diagnosed, it was a rough path for my parents and for me because Tourette syndrome means that you are involuntary ticking, meaning that you are making sounds or and movements that are involuntary. And that's very hard to understand as a seven-year-old, that your body is moving in ways that you don't feel that you have control over, or making sounds that you feel you don't have control over. So this was also hard to navigate in school, but as I grew up, I learned how to deal with other kids, peers, and any adversity that I faced. But my dad had heard through a coworker about an outreach, not per se program, but an organization that was in New York that helped young people with Tourette syndrome and families with Tourette syndrome navigate they're dealing with the Tourette syndrome. And this was around the time we were moving to New Jersey. And when we moved to New Jersey, we then found out that there was a New Jersey Center for Tourette syndrome. And then in about 2020 is when I first became affiliated with the New Jersey Center for Tourette syndrome. I'm going to say NJCTS for short. And I met all the youth coordinators with the NJCTS, and I met with people who are mentors who were youth advocates but had grown up. And they told me all about the program, and it was very interesting to me. But at this time, I was still 12 years old, I think. So I wasn't really ready to speak about my Tourette syndrome and advocate for other kids who have Tourette syndrome. So this started in 2022 when I was 14 and a freshman at RFH. I had become more affiliated with the NJCTS and became a youth advocate for them, meaning that I would go to elementary and middle schools in New Jersey, and I would give presentations about Tourette syndrome, basically just spreading awareness, talking about what it's like in general, and then talking about what it's like for me. And these schools usually had a kid in the grade that I was presenting to that had Tourette syndrome, which is why I was there, because it's something that if someone has it, you will most likely know because you'll see or hear tics. And especially as younger kids, they don't understand this. Like, I myself couldn't understand, and I wouldn't have been able to understand if someone around me had Tourette's syndrome. So they often get made fun of. So we're there basically to help make this kid feel comfortable in their own skin and to help the kids around them feel comfortable with this person and know what's really going on, if you know what I mean.
Right. So tell me a little bit more about, is this something that is typically diagnosed in young children? Is it, at what age do most people get this diagnosis? And I think you're raising a lot of really good and important points about when somebody is different in school or they have something going on with them that the other children don't understand. This is where people can be made fun of and there's bullying. And if the teacher doesn't understand it entirely, if there's not a definite diagnosis. So tell me a little bit more about that. You said you perhaps started to notice things at 5 and you were diagnosed at 7. Is that fairly typical?
Yeah, that sweet spot's really 5 to 7 years old when kids are most usually diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome. But that's not to say that they can't experience tics before that. I probably experienced tics before that, but it's just hard to notice in a 3 to 4 year old if they're ticking or if they're just being a toddler. You know what I mean?
Silly. Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. So you're called upon, as you mentioned, if a student is in a school, they call out to the Center for Tourette's Syndrome and say, can you have someone come and speak? You wouldn't ever just go to speak about this to a class or a school where there wasn't anyone diagnosed. Is that right?
Well, usually we go for a child, but that's not to say that I couldn't reach out to a school and maybe go and spread awareness. We do have youth presenters who have done that before, and I've worked on trying to do that before. But it's really hard to coordinate that with a school too, because honestly, some schools don't really see necessity for it if they don't have a kid with Tourette's syndrome, which is really honestly a sad thing in my opinion. But it's something that we're working on, something that I'm working on, maybe reaching out to other schools and going to present to them even if they don't have a kid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it just because there isn't anyone there now doesn't mean that they probably won't encounter someone over the course of their lifetime, right? And so, again, if you teach young people what this actually is and what it isn't, right, and how to treat people with kindness and respect, right, do you have a sense of how many people have this diagnosis in the United States? How common it is?
Something really important to note is that 1 in 100 individuals show signs of a tic disorder, which is really similar to Tourette's syndrome, meaning that they'll have 1 in 100 individuals will have tics, which is what someone with Tourette's syndrome has. But in order to have the diagnosis of Tourette's syndrome, you have to have 1 motor tic and 2 vocal tics, sorry, 2 motor tics and 1 vocal tic for the duration of a year. So although it's not as common to have Tourette's syndrome, there are still so many people out there, like I said, 1 in 100 who have tics.
Sure, sure. And is there any treatment? Is there any medicine, anything that you can take, any special therapies or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a good amount of medication options that deal with more, most of the medication options are more similar to those that people take for things like ADHD or OCD, which are, by the way, very common to have if you have Tourette's syndrome. I think it's a statistic, maybe like 80% or more that have Tourette's syndrome and an associated disorder. But there's also something called CBT, which is what I did, and which is cognitive behavioral therapy, which is also used for other neurological disorders, but it's very helpful with Tourette's syndrome.
Sure. Tell people a little bit about CBT, because I think it is, I'm very familiar with it myself, but tell us, what does that exactly mean?
So I went through CBT when I was pretty young, so I'll do the best of my ability. But when I went through CBT, basically when any Tourette syndrome is, you have an urge to tick. And instead of giving into that urge and ticking, I would find something else to do that would stop that tick. Like one of my biggest ticks is cracking my neck to the side. And to combat that, I would find something in the room to look at and kind of lock my eyes on so that I couldn't crack my neck to the side without taking my eyes off of it. And basically the purpose of this is just to gradually lower that urge to tick.
Sort of redirecting your attention or your behavior, changing, you know, slightly changing your behavior. They use CBIT for lots and lots of different things. People who have fears and that sort of thing. So tell me a little bit more about your experience talking to youth and trying to get them to understand so that they sort of won't tease or won't bully other kids. Do you typically share your own story, you know, sort of really your experiences with that? How do you find that that's received when you're talking to young people, especially little kids?
Yeah, honestly, it's really hard to explain to second to fifth graders what an involuntary movement means. So I really have to simplify it. And I honestly usually will use demonstrations or silly examples. Like we do this blink activity that I tell everybody to not blink for 30 seconds. And I describe that feeling as what a tick feels like. But they're also, at the same time as it's hard to understand for them, they're very good listeners. Especially the younger kids, they ask a lot of questions.
Little kids have a way of really honing in on things and kind of letting them go. I feel like the teasing and the nastiness kind of comes in as kids get older and, you know, like kind of middle school grade and stuff like that. I think little kids, you know, if somebody's doing something different than they are in their play space or whatever, they'll just be like, oh, that's just how they are. That's just what they're doing. Like, you almost have a better opportunity to get littler children to understand that this is just something that happens to this person and it's no big deal. It doesn't hurt anyone and they're fine. And let's just keep playing. Right. So I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing to bring this kind of information. And like you said, what a great opportunity for you to figure out how to explain this. It's almost like becoming a teacher, right? Like figuring out how to make this understandable to different people and in different age groups. Tell me a little bit about the fundraising that you've done. I saw that you've raised a lot of funds for the center in New Jersey. So what does that look like for you? What are the fundraisers all about?
Yeah, so every year the NJCTS has an annual fundraiser. And as part of the annual fundraiser, they do a walk to raise awareness. Now, the walk was virtual, I want to say a couple of years in the past because of COVID. But this year, well, 2024, we had an actual walk in Bridgewater, which was great. And I attended in May. And I got to thinking because all of the, I'm on the youth council as well. We help organize the events like the walk. And we're also expected to contribute to the annual fundraiser in our own way, whether it be sharing the donation link to family and friends, posting it on Instagram, or really doing something that will get it out there. And I really thought of what I could do to raise awareness and also raise funds. And I figured, why not have my own walk? So I coordinated the walk with the police department in my town. And I created a flyer for the walk, set out a date, and I sent out an invitation by email, but then also left it up to the NJCTS to find families and invite them to my walk. And I had it go from the middle school in my town back to my house, where we had like a pizza truck, which I had, I found a sponsor to sponsor that. And it was a fun day. It was a lot of fun. And with that invitation link, I also sent out the fundraiser link. And in total, I raised over $10,000, which
amazing.
Was amazing.
Right. No, Savannah, that is like, what an incredible story, right? Like, just, I love for people to hear this, that you did all of these things, right? As a 16-year-old, right? You reached out to the police department, right? Which is not an insignificant thing, right? You had to go and find somebody at the police department to support the effort. You found a sponsor for the pizza truck, right? You got the date secured. I'm sure you had to deal with the town and let them know that this was happening. Like, you put the flyer out there. You worked with NJCTS. Like, it sounds daunting. It sounds like such a big thing, but it's really, if you break it down into all of its individual pieces, and P.S., as I'm sure that you'll agree, people want to help, right? If you go to them and say, this is a situation, this is a condition that I suffer from, but I want to raise awareness, I want to raise money, this is the good work that we're doing, can you help? Can you donate? I mean, people are just jumping all over to help you. And I think that that's a really wonderful example of taking something that was important to you. Like you said, why couldn't you do your own walk? And you made that happen. I mean, that's incredible. And $10,000 is not an insignificant amount of money. That's a lot of money. And I'm sure they can do a lot of really great work with that. And it's also not just sending it to, like you said, your friends and family, right? As long as you can open that up, because at some point you want your whole community to understand this. Well, I don't know, Savannah, this is just really wonderful. I think you're just raising awareness about something that I think is really misunderstood. And sadly, I think is sometimes portrayed in movies and things in a way that make it seem scary or something to laugh at or whatever. And it's not. It's a condition that you live with and that you're successfully living with and thriving with this. And I just think it's wonderful that you've embrace this work and you're raising awareness and raising money in this way. Can you tell everybody where they could learn more? Perhaps there's a website where there's information just to educate themselves or maybe families that are worried about a child with a tick, like where they can kind of learn more information. Is there anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. There's the NJCTS website. If you just Google NJCTS.org, it'll come up. And there's also the Tourette Association of America, which is also very helpful, but it is based in Texas. So if you'd like something more local, the NJCTS is perfect.
And do you think that there are, because hopefully there are listeners all over the country, do you think that there are local chapters in most states?
I think that you could definitely find something close to you, but I think most prominent are New York, New Jersey, and obviously the Tourette Association of America in Texas.
Awesome. Well, Savannah, thank you so much for sharing this with us. It was really, really important and special. And I have not had anyone on who has done this sort of work. And I'm so glad that you reached out to me. I'm wishing you the best of luck.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.